So when I, when we get started, hope everyone's had a great meeting and enjoyed this morning's plenary. And right now we have the great opportunity to have three more presentations on science and technology working with Creation 2. My name is Johnny Lin, and I'll be moderating. Our first speaker is William Jordan from Baylor University, and we'll be talking about creating a class in sustainable metallurgy.
Good morning. I appreciate getting some of my fellow engineers to come to this meeting. We're not the biggest group in ASA, but we're try to become a very active one. I'm from Baylor University, and my title is Creating a Class in Sustainable Metallurgy. And if you've been to the last couple of ASA conferences, I have spoken about things with the word sustainability in it. So I want to give you a little bit of background of where I came from. I've been interested in this concept for a very long time, but didn't know very much about it. Then I took a fall of 2016, I took a sabbatical at Villanova University in the suburbs of Philadelphia. They're one of the few schools that have a master's program in sustainable engineering. The main thing I did for rest and renewal at the sabbatical was to sit in on two classes. I sat in a class of fundamentals of sustainable engineering and another one on sustainable materials and design. Well, I've spent my whole career in mechanical engineering programs. I'm at heart a materials person. I have 2 degrees in metallurgical engineering. I have 1 degree in my PhD in mechanics and materials engineering. And along the way, I also got a seminary degree from Denver Seminary. While I was there, I had always been kind of a climate change, a skeptic. After sitting in on those courses and interacting with everybody there, I'm no longer a skeptic, and I came out of the closet, so to speak, 2 years ago at the Carter School of Mines to say I do see climate change as a real and serious challenge for engineers. So that's what I did 2 years ago. I presented my beginning thoughts on a Christian approach to sustainable engineering, because I wanted to see how we could put these two different things together. My next step was to combine my interest in sustainable topics and engineering entrepreneurship and Christian faith into a course module in a required undergraduate engineering course. So the course is a junior level course, Introduction to Materials Engineering, textbook by William Collister. That's the most common used textbook in the country for that particular topic. So I spoke last summer in Boston about teaching a sustainable materials concepts in a required engineering course. And some people talk about should sustainable be separate courses or embedded throughout courses, and my answer is yes to both of them. I think if you just put it in a separate course, not everybody's going to take it. But there are some details that are relevant for people to take. So what I did this past year was to create a course that combined several interests of mine, corrosion and sustainable metallurgy. I've been interested in corrosion a long time. I did my master's thesis on liquid metal lithium corrosion of high purity iron, sponsored by what was then the Atomic Energy Commission, and it's gone through a number of name changes over the years. But I've been too busy with teaching regular courses to ever teach a course in corrosion. So I combined corrosion and sustainable metallurgy, and that provided for some real challenges. So I set some course goals. Identify the 8 forms of corrosion, understand the basic concepts of sustainable engineering and how to apply them to the use of metallic materials, and this includes the effect of a Christian perspective on sustainability. Then create alternative designs they had to do as projects to current designs that will result in projects being more corrosion resistant and therefore more sustainable. And then everybody had to complete a class project. And I'll talk more about that in a couple minutes. As someone who's now on the ABET Engineering Accreditation Commission, I think it's important that our classes support accreditation. So the two key ones here is an ability to identify, formulate, and solve complex engineering problems. Clearly, they had to do that in this course. And another one is an ability to recognize ethical and professional responsibilities in engineering situations make informed judgments, and you see, you need to consider it in terms of global, economic, environmental, and societal. And that's clearly at the heart of what we're doing in sustainability. One of the things we have is we don't have a real large graduate program now. So we have a lot of our graduate, this is aimed at master's level graduate students, are available to undergraduate students as talent collectors. But we've got to do something different in terms of making it more intense for the graduate students. One of the things we've done is we had the final project, the undergraduate students only had to do an oral presentation. Graduate students had to do an oral presentation and a technical report written in ASME journal format. The other thing we had is I had, in the later part of the class, I had graduate students teach modules to undergraduates. This is the third mixed class I've done that to. I've gotten really good reviews from both undergraduate and graduate students, appreciate learning from each other. I had several books. This first book is the one I mentioned earlier, that the people who were undergraduates, at least at Baylor, had already owned the book. The graduate students, I trying to obey fair use copyright, I copied two chapters out of a 30-chapter book and put it available on Canvas for the graduate students. The book that was used for about half the course was Materials and Sustainable Development by Michael Ashby. It's an engineering book with very few equations in it, to be honest, but lots of descriptions, lots of case studies. It was the late case studies in the latter part of the book that I had the graduate students actually teach. And following up with what I saw at Villanova, I had them read a book that was not a textbook called Rust, the Longest War. And this was written by a journalist. He looked at all sorts of famous cases, starting with the Statue of Liberty rusting away, talked about the Alaska pipeline, all sorts of other things where rust has affected lots of people, not just engineers. And the students gave pretty good reviews for that book as well. I had them read some from other sources. There's an ASM handbook, a book on corrosion engineering, but reflecting my view perspective at a Christian university, I had them read some stuff from Pollution and the Death of Man by Francis Schaeffer, 1970. I show in my age by saying this book was very influential when I became a Christian in 71 and a few years after that. And I also had them read Laudato Si, the encyclical by Pope Francis. That came out in 2015. There were a lot of faculty reading it and discussing it when I was at Villanova as a Catholic university. I read it as well. So here you see these two. One of the things that amazed me was how much these two books resonated with each other. They're written 45 years apart. Schaeffer is a very, very conservative evangelical. Pope Francis, is certainly seen as at least a liberal reformer. There's other, lots of people, he's a controversial person, people have different perspectives on him. But they're not seen as two people who would be the same. And clearly things have changed since 1970, but a lot of what they said about environment changed. And I say insight from two men named Francis. Pope Francis quotes a third Francis, Francis of Assisi, that I also mentioned in the book. But one of the things that, because these two men, Schaeffer and the Pope, have very different images, I have two quotations here. Let's look at these. One of them said, "We are not God. The earth was here before us and has been given to us." That's a typo. "Nowadays, we must forcefully reject the notion that our being created in God's image and given dominion over the earth justifies absolute dominion over other creatures." Another one of the two Francises says, "Why does strip mining turn the world into an absolute desert? What has brought about this ugly destruction of the environment? There is only one reason, man's greed." And when I shared this a year and a half ago at our fall faculty retreat, most of the faculty got the wrong Francis. So I'm curious, which one of these two Francises said these two quotes? What's your thoughts? Audience interaction now. Yes? Okay. Any other suggestions?
Say Schaeffer is not the higher, the first one, and Pope was the second one.
And I'd go the other way.
Okay. The bottom one about man's greed is Schaeffer. And about dominion was the Pope. But certainly from his conservative Presbyterian background, Schaeffer would believe in the dominion issue. But a lot of people, when they see the word greed, think that's the sort of thing the Pope might have said. I'm sure he would agree with that. But the point is, these two resonated with me, and When I shared this orally, when I visited a year later with the dean at Villanova, his comment is he's not surprised they have the same source material. Yeah, and in a broad sense, that's true. So grass grading, I don't go into details, but basically the graduate students had the module and a written report and which is where the big differences were in terms of how the grades went up. Class projects, they could work alone or in a self-selected team of up to two students. Students wrote a short two-paragraph proposal. Mainly, it was the bottom issue, not to make it not too large or too small. People were self-selected into the class. Everybody bought into the sustainability issues. What I've seen in class projects over the years is students much more likely try to solve the world rather than too broad rather than too narrow. And some of these were still borderline as too broad. So undergraduate, someone talked about the smart grid, which was really a too broad a topic, but they narrowed it down to a particular geographic area. Another one talked about Cape Wind, which was a solar project in Nantucket Sound. State of the power industry was a little broad too. Legislation against solar power, they looked at two or three specific states. And then economic analysis of personal vehicles, thinking like little electric cars, that sort of thing. The graduate classes, one did sustainable development, articulation, ocean compressed, that's a type of air energy storage. I never knew that such a thing existed as a way to store energy by compressed air underwater. A case study in wave energy. Two of them were really specific, solar power, PV in Texas, about Austin, has done a lot of things with solar energy, including tax breaks. One of my students looked at whether the municipal recycling program in Waco represents a worthwhile articulation of sustainable development. His concern was it probably did not. He was an interesting student in that he's a part-time graduate student and a practicing attorney in the city. Although he did not work for the city, he shared the results with the city. I believe in sustainable things, but I'm not sure Waco's doing it just right. So the course assessment, I found one way to get good assessment is to have anonymous surveys, and the question is, how do you get people to really do it? What I've done in many courses over the years is do it in a final exam. Now, the portion is the student evaluation we all have to do. Usually it says, say something, and it's really off the wall. But what I do here is they have to write an answer anonymously on a separate sheet of paper. They put it into a sealed envelope, which I say I will not look at after grades are turned in, which is true. And then if they sign their name to the envelope, they get full credit for the question. So I get really nice, candid answers from my students as a result. And I do this in almost all my courses now. So I asked six questions. What was your opinion of the Collister's text? What was your opinion of Ashby's text? What do you think went well? What did not go well? And then I asked separate questions for grad and undergraduate students of what they thought of the teaching modules. So I want to share with you some of these student responses. Ashby's book was people really liked it. You know, undergrad said, I liked it a lot. Another one said, very good book that lets you look at sustainable engineering. Another one said, very helpful, really liked the case studies. About a third of the book were case studies, and that's the portion I had the graduate students teach to the undergraduates. The graduate students said that it was a great book, I'm going to hold on to this one. I never got into why people sell their books as soon as they finish classes, but that's another story. He said, I think it does a good job explaining how it really looks, how to really look at sustainable development. What went well? This is a mixture of graduate and undergraduate ones, like the individual and group presentations, like the graduate ones. Another one said, I like the final project, love the presentations. Another one said, I appreciate the split between corrosion and sustainable development. When I get to what didn't work well, someone else said that didn't work well. Yeah. The end of the course project, he said, I enjoyed the times where we had a presented class with no warning. What I told them ahead of time they'd get graded on is they turned in written homework assignments, but on the day it was due, I made sure that everybody in the class had to solve one problem on the board in front of everybody. And that's what they meant by no warning. This one saw that as something that went well. Another student saw it as something he didn't like. But I thought it went well. What should be changed? I rarely see people say, give us more assignments. But I had a couple of graduate undergrads say that because there weren't a lot of assignments and they tend to be, therefore, worth more. Someone said they want a specific exam of a corrosion material. This is the student who did not like the impromptu presentations over homework. This one said he did not think all the chapters in Rust were that interesting. Others said they loved the book. Another one said I should talk more about that book here. One person said the two portions seemed almost like two separate classes. And then one student said more time should spent on corrosion design, meaning he thought or she thought we should do that. But overall, I consider this very positive reviews from the students. It's interesting about their view of the teaching thing. Generally speaking, it's very positive. Undergraduate. The undergrad view said engaged, excellent, learned a lot from them. Another one says interesting to see how each grad student had their own perspective on the chapter they were teaching. Another one said it's very creative, I enjoyed it. Another one said, I think the graduate lectures were a good idea and they should be kept for future course sections. I think this last one is about me. It said it gave them great experience and broke up the monotony. So they had variety. Other ones. Graduate students loved it, generally speaking. There's one negative one here. Great opportunity for us. I think it helps a lot for outside of class. It teaches you, some typos by me, to prepare for presentation you may do in your job. Another one said, I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot about myself. Another one said, I very much liked it. The next last one said, I loved it. My primary goal in getting a master's is to teach at a community college, so I really enjoyed the teaching module. The graduate students were pretty uniform that this was a good thing to have done, but one of them said the undergraduates don't pay much attention. What I did warn them about, and it did happen, is I said, there will be final exam questions from the graduate student modules, not just from my modules. So kind of my conclusion, I think the student assessment was very positive, and I recommend continuing this course. The third one is this course almost overwhelmed me last fall because there's no real textbook. I used Ashby for about 40% of the class, but not for the other 60%. It took a really lot of time. I also had this thing called ABET self-study report. I was the prime author for Baylor Mechanical Engineering. So this was a really time-consuming class. I'm scheduled, in my mind, to teach it again in the fall of 20. I'm looking forward to doing that because it's going to be a lot less time consuming. When you create something from scratch, it's really a lot of work. I think it's fair to say that both undergrad and graduate students enjoyed the teaching modules, which I'm pleased to see because, again, with a small graduate program, we really need to have combined classes for most of the master's level courses. So this appears to be one way where we can incorporate the graduate student doing more in-depth work and still being good for them and good for the undergraduates. When I did this in another class that had a lab component, the graduate students taught a 1 or 2 week lab module, and the students liked that too. Any questions?
So we have time for questions.
Terry?
These are more comments, but you can respond to them. So what, just to make a note that Carl Fichtery from Dort made a talk at ASA 2 or 3, I think it was at Azusa Pacific, but the tale of two Francises.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had heard
that. I watched that. It was okay. Very well.
So just some material if you want to.
That's where I quoted these two Francises. When I followed up on what he said, I actually talk about three Francises in the class, because the Pope, in my own presentation, I quoted the Pope quoting Francis of Assisi. So I've gone back to some of Assisi's quotes.
Right. So another thing, I do, it's not metallurgy or and corrosion, but I do a course on e-waste. I talked about that last year at ASA. And we use a book, if you want something that's along the lines of the Rust book, is a sort of popular, but exposes people to interesting things that they probably don't get elsewhere, is a book called Junkyard Planet.
I've heard of the book. But
Adam Minter. Yeah. It's about the scrap industry and especially China and recycling. And anyway, it's a very, it has chapters on different things.
Well, I appreciate that because this was the first time I'd ever done read another book, and that's another thing I picked up at Villanova. In both those graduate courses, they had people read a book that was kind of a general audience book on the topic, not just a textbook one.
In my course, this is an amazing thing. I mean, it's remarkable to me, for starters, and I don't know if this is your experience as well, that engineers, chemists don't do metallurgy.
Yeah.
to any large extent, and you know, even for a graduate student in chemistry, they haven't kind of discussed some of these topics or some of these technologies. It's pretty remarkable. But I learned that 5% of the world's energy goes to crushing rock.
That doesn't surprise me.
In order to, you know, process minerals into metals.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
I just had a question about how do you think you had comments about they thought it was two separate courses that were kind of put together. How do you think you would be able to kind of integrate them a little bit more?
Well, in reality, it was two separate courses, really, I tried to put together. But what I kind of had like a 4 weeks of corrosion and then with very little sustainability and then got into sustainability. So the next time I teach this course, I would have the same fundamental content, but I would do more integration. I would mix up the corrosion talk with the sustainable talk. So that was a relevant comment, and I think integrating them in time would help a little bit, not just doing one module and then another module. But it really was an attempt to try to get at two things in one course. That was a correct observation. Yes?
So I guess it leads me to say, like, what is it about corrosion that would lend itself to a course on sustainability? That is, how would you?
Well, if you look at the cost, several people have estimated that the cost of corrosion to our society is on the order of 5% of our GNP. That, when you multiply that out by whatever our GNP is now, that's a huge amount of money. And you know, that's the first thing I talked about. So that was the intro to sustainability before corrosion. I said, you may think it's not a big deal, but here is how big it is. It's a really huge deal that most people don't realize how big a deal it is. But when you multiply that out, you're talking about, $70, $80 billion a year in the U.S. is spent on corrosion. And we could spend it on other things. Yeah.
So with sustainable metallurgy, I guess with coming into the talk without having maybe read your abstract, that I thought, that perhaps you'd be teaching in the class also more about the mining and refining side, which also takes, a lot of energy.
Well, I mean, what you and what Terry said is useful, and I did have that kind of class as undergraduate metallurgical engineering at mines, but I didn't really put that in this class, really. I've talked, even once you get it into reasonably pure steel, for lack of a better term, there's still lots of processing things going on. So those are relevant things I could add to it, but I really didn't get at the mining, the ore to metal side of it, other than to talk that it was a lot of energy in general terms. Okay. Someone else has a question? Yes?
I am a total novice on this topic. Is it in the economic interest of a manufacturer to design and build a product where corrosion is minimized and sustainability is enhanced?
Okay, that was one thing where my attitude about that changed in my experience at Villanova, because if you talk about short-run profit this month, the answer is no. If you talk about long-run profit, I'd say the answer is yes. If you have less waste just at that level, if you can sell more of the stuff you bring in, you're going to make more money and you're not going to have to pay to get rid of your waste product. So I think in the long run, yes. I mean, compared to some of the plenary sphere, I am much more hopeful about the climate change issue because I think free markets can do wonderful things. Yeah. When I was at Villanova, I had someone, bring in a bunch of industry people every couple times a year to give candid talks about what's going on. And one of them shocked me when he said, the biggest force for for sustainability in a country is an organization called Walmart. They're making every supplier have all the way to end use plan on everything they sell to Walmart. And that's forcing a lot of medium and small companies, they don't want to ignore the Walmart market. And I'm not trying to brag on that company, but the point is, I think free markets can do a lot. If people can get the vision that we're going to make more money Because Walmart's not doing this for altruistic reasons. They're doing it because they think they can make more money. I think it's safe to say they are. So I think in the long run, companies will make more money by being sustainable. In the short run, if you talk about a 1 month or 1 year, maybe not. But you know, if I can sell a lot more of what I bring in, and I don't have to pay for the waste, and my products last longer, people will like me, and I'll do well. So I'm actually on the hopeful side of the climate change issue. I think it's real, but I'm reasonably hopeful. But that's a very good question. No?
Can you show the questions you asked your students, that one slide that came up?
Okay, besides the one I asked, this was both graduate and undergraduate, what did you think of the modules? But basically it's, what did you think of the book? But the thing that I always find enlightening is, what did you think that went well and what did you think that didn't go well? And I ask those two questions in every class I teach, and I'm always surprised at some things I think went well, they didn't, and some things I wasn't sure went well, they loved. So I think those are two very good questions to ask students. You know, if you could change something, and if you could keep something, what would it be? And again, the method of sealed in an envelope, so I don't know who wrote what till afterwards, but then getting full credit for an exam question. I'm willing to give up 10, in some cases 20% of the exam value to get candid feedback. You got full credit for that question if you signed the envelope. And my students like that. They see that as an easy 10 or 20 points on the final. But I get really candid answers, as you see here.
Well, let's thank our speaker.